Decide not to be perfect. Perfection is the enemy of progress. I know several entrepreneurs who describe themselves as former corporate types, and what they mean by that is the corporate world and everything needs to be perfect before being shown to a customer or implemented or marketed, and the level of perfection expected dictates the number of proofreaders and committees that need to see, approve, and sign off on everything. It can be painfully slow. Of course, in the corporate world, another reason for perfection is that you're an employee, and getting called into the boss's office is no fun after they or perhaps one of their golfing buddies spots a missing comma in a 2,000-word document. Yikes. There is one place that may be perfect, and that's Squishyville. But remember, nothing happens there. In this case, Squishyville residents suffer from perfection analysis paralysis. They are too worried about a mistake, and they are suffering from slow to no growth because of it. When I started my business, I too suffered from the fear of making a mistake and being seen as a mistake-prone amateur not worthy of someone's business. How's that for head trash? Until I heard an expression by marketing legend Dan Kennedy, and Dan said, good is good enough. So what does that mean? Good is good enough. Is that licensed to print out or put out shoddy work? Absolutely not. I first heard this term in 2006 when I was beginning my new branding and positioning as the newsletter guru and launching my second business, No Hassle Newsletters. I've come to understand and totally appreciate this expression and actually this business philosophy and strategy because it relieves overwhelm and it also greatly accelerates your growth. Honestly, finding every last comma in poor grammar choice before launching puts tremendous strain on forward progress, especially in the early years when you're doing everything. Coach Melanie understands that besides creating slow to no growth, perfection leads to overwhelm. Again, I want you to listen to Decide to Be an Entrepreneur for Coach Melanie's explanation on the different overwhelm syndromes. But for now, let's talk about the different states of overwhelm. Here's Coach Melanie's words. You will be overwhelmed by different things depending on the stage at which your business is. At the start, there are things like your web presence, product design, etc. Once you get those things created and running smoothly, you'll hit the growth stage of overwhelm. You start to recognize that your business is running pretty well and you've made a lot of success. Maybe you set your sights on hitting the million to billion range and now there's another level of success because you're looking at different types of funding to grow your business. You may be looking at bringing on people who own, you may be looking at bringing in people who own roles from which you need to extract yourself from now. It can be overwhelming because you're facing a lot of new tactics and strategies that you have never used and need to learn. Finally, there's the stage that focuses on the legacy side. Maybe you want to extract yourself from the business, exit or sell, so you have to develop strategies for that process so it's successful. You may be faced with overwhelm of how do I release the business I have and set out into the unknown to pursue my legacy. At each stage of growth, there is uncertainty and newness. Overwhelm kicks in and you're faced with things you don't know how to do. It's scary because you're someone who likes to feel confident and clear about the steps. One of the things I learned a few years ago was that has served me well was to help manage and conquer overwhelm is to recognize that the tools, resources, and strategies I used to get where I am now will not be the same ones to get me to the next level. If I resist and try to keep growing with the same mindset, the same habits, the same ideas, it creates more overwhelm. If I understand that every time I'm going to grow, I also have to up-level my game, resources, support systems, and strategies, then overwhelm is minimized. Very wise words from Coach Melanie. You know, in looking at Melanie's different states of overwhelm, it's easy to see where thinking the need to be perfect at each stage will put you right on the road to Squishyville. As I shared, that happened to me at the start, worrying that if my website was perfect, perhaps you're in the same boat, poring over every last detail of your marketing material. I want to encourage you to decide to pull the trigger and move along. Course correct as you go. Once you're moving forward, you may get too caught up in the perfection of the job versus someone else. Let it go. Reread Decide to Delegate if you need to, or re-listen to the chapter on Decide to Delegate. My coaching client, Kelly Roach, has a similar experience. This is Kelly's words. When I was launching my business, I had a lot of the fear and self-doubt that new and even existing entrepreneurs have about the image of the business. And all of the details are perfect. I spent 6 months in the process of getting my website launched. One day I broke down in frustrated tears because of all the technical BS that wasn't making me any money, and I'd had enough. I decided to call on clients, promote my business, website or no website, and got to my first 10 clients. The big lesson was that I wasted almost a year on all this technical stuff that I thought I needed, and ultimately my first 50 clients never even visited my websites. Pretty profound. That is really powerful from Kelly. You know, folks, stalling your success because of a quest for perfection can obviously happen at every stage of your business. Even at the end, if you get too caught up in a quest for perfection, when you're deciding to sell your business or move to your next adventure, you may miss a good opportunity when it's time to exit. Let's talk about good is good enough. To me, that means you always do your best work. You create content, you write books, you shoot great videos, etc., and then you pull the trigger and implement and or launch your work. I used to have a whole team of proofreaders, and I still employ some of them today, but my mindset has shifted from the need to be excruciatingly perfection right down to the last comma to being one instead of I focus on putting out consistent, helpful, useful, actionable information and content that has real value. I have a reputation as somebody who cranks out a ton of information every week. I've become comfortable with the fact that when I produce such a large volume of content, there will be a mistake or two, and that's okay. In my opinion, a mistake or two is not a deal breaker for 99.9% of your clients and prospects. To me, it's all about putting out great information that can help entrepreneurs grow a more profitable business faster. It's not about me being a perfect writer, author, or speaker. I guarantee, folks, there are some mistakes in this book. We've had it proofread. We've edited it, I'm thinking, about a dozen times. But in the end, I pulled the trigger. And again, I'm sure there's mistakes on this page. And as far as being perfect, I never even said I was an author. People encourage me to start writing books. They encourage me to share more information. So I do so in a way that I think is helpful. I know there's probably some mistakes, but I think in the end, we're going to be judged on the quality of the information and the quality of the value that we put out. I want you to think about what I just said, how you can apply it to your business. And I'll take a quick sidebar here and point out that this recording you're listening to is not perfect. I know that. I actually have a cold right now. I'm doing my best to talk in a clear voice, but when I have time scheduled to record the book, I needed to get it done. And so when I clear my throat occasionally, or if I mess up a word, I just keep moving on. I don't hit stop. I don't go back and edit. Oh, I better take out that I am counting on the fact that the overall value of the information that I'm sharing and the way in which I'm sharing it in this book is going to be more important than the occasional clearing my throat. Okay, back to business. Let's talk about good is good enough. Again, you always put out your best work, your good work, the best work you can, and just accept that a mistake or two is not going to be a deal breaker. There were two events that helped me realize this, what I consider a seismic shift in thinking. When I was launching No Hassle Newsletters, I was running way behind, and I had an unmovable launch date because I was exhibiting at a major conference. I talked about that earlier in the book. I knew my website was less than perfect, but again, I needed to launch. I needed to get on a plane and go. So for better or worse, I left it in the hands of my web team and with all the content that I'd written and said, get it up on the site. After the first day of exhibiting, I returned to my room exhausted. I got on the bed, I opened my laptop, and I looked over the website, and I was like, oh my gosh, oh goodness, look at that, that's misspelled. I didn't mean to say that. And I started seeing some different edits that needed to be made. So I opened up a Word document and made a whole bunch of edits by bullet point and then sent it to my web team and said, please make these changes as soon as you can. The next thing I did is I opened up my email, and there were 7 orders from the website. And I thought, you know, what a profound lesson. The website, at first glance, I thought was horrific because it had a couple mistakes, but people were paying me money to sign up for my program. Again, I think people will overlook an occasional mistake or two if you're putting out great information and providing great value. I'm not suggesting anybody do substandard work. Quite to the contrary, you always want to do your best work, but you have to pull the trigger and make corrections and edits as you move forward, by the way, while you make money. The other big lesson came to me from Bill Glazer. He's the past president of GKIC. It was about 18 months into writing my first book. Yes, my first book took me 18 months. The book that I'm talking to you about right now, I did in 60 days. Okay, so I'm about 18 months into writing The Magic of Newsletter Marketing when I heard Bill speak on the topic of authoring a book. And in talking about Good is Good Enough, Bill said, you know, and by the way, my book had technically been done for a few months, and every chance I had, I was going through it, pouring through it with the proverbial magnifying glass, looking for every last edit. If it's going to be my book with my name, I wanted that perfect. Dang it. That was my mindset at the time. But Bill was speaking about Good Enough, and he said, he just happened to mention book writing, and I'm going to paraphrase what Bill said. He said, just imagine you're in a bookstore and someone sees your book. Intrigued by the cover, they pull it off the shelf, thumb through it, and then they buy it. For starters, you made a sale, and it's possible the sale of that book could lead to other business. On the other hand, if your book is still in the computer while you're looking for every last grammar and spelling mistake, no sale is made and no future business is possible. I am grateful to Dan Kennedy and Bill Glazer for getting my head on straight about this. I launched my book, Magic of Newsletter Marketing, later that month. And what you're holding now or what you're listening to is book number 6. And my average time to write a book is somewhere between 60 days and 3-4 months, depending on how my urgency, my sense of urgency. But let me also point out that people will be more than happy to point out the mistakes for you. I guarantee that will happen because it happens to me every time, several times a month, actually. Oh, Jim, I think you meant to put S-O-N and not S-U-N, which is kind of sun, and Word doesn't catch that because it doesn't see it as a mistake. Some people may get indignant and nasty, and I have no clue why they feel the need to do that. Go back and listen to Immune to Criticism. But, you know, here's the deal. When that happens, just say to yourself, it's okay. People that are nasty and indignant like that, they're probably not a good prospect for you anyway. And the amount of good content you put out more than makes up for an occasional mistake or gaffe. I truly believe that, and it helps to say it out loud if someone rattles your cage. With today's technology and the flexibility it offers, correct the mistake they pointed out, upload a new document or new PDF to your website, and move on. My coaching client, Dr. Michelle Summers Colon, is a great example of deciding to escape being mired in perfection and analysis paralysis. Here's Michelle. I was stuck in perfection regarding sending out newsletters, so I stopped sending them. That's when I started with Jim Palmer's No Hassle newsletters, and that really solved the problem. Now I just don't worry about it anymore. Well, I love that example for obviously a couple good reasons. Thank you, Michelle. Let's hear from Gary George, who shared an eyewitness account of how perfection doesn't pay. The first time I realized that I needed to do things faster and stop being a perfectionist was when I had two new clients who were both in the same industry but in different geographic locations. One was marketing and working more aggressively, and they were able to accomplish so much more than the other one, who was a perfectionist, going back to cross every T and dot every I. I saw the first one do 10 times the volume and become a multi-million-dollar business. The other one ended up going out of business. I realized I needed to do the same thing and learn to let go. Great words from Gary. So the bottom line is this, folks. Decide to be a purveyor of great content. Generously share content across multiple platforms on a consistent and persistent basis. And if you do that, you will attract more customers and prospects to what you have to offer. Do not put out shoddy work. Instead, put out the best work you can and then pull the trigger and launch it. As Bill Glazer said, it does you and nobody else any good if it's sitting in your computer. I remember after writing my first book, I proudly gave copies to friends and family. Hey, look, I'm an author. I felt really proud of myself. And one of my friends is actually an exceptional writer and apparently a good proofreader. One day she told me how much she enjoyed my book, thought it contained some good information, but she said, Jim, there's a few mistakes in here. I'm not sure. Do you want me to point them out? I said, yeah, that's fine, because I didn't want to be rude. And she goes, you even have a dangling participle or two. And I must admit, I've heard the term before, probably some school, but I had no idea what a dangling participle was. But there were three there that she wanted me to take care of. And that proves my point, folks. People will point it out for you. You can go back and fix it. But by the same token, I was selling hundreds, if not thousands, of books at the time. And no doubt they were gaining me new clients. So the content and the information in the book is going to help other entrepreneurs grow a more profitable business. And this book will help me grow my business. And that's why I pulled the trigger. Now, again, here's something. Folks, I never claimed to be a professional writer, and I have become immune to criticism. But the only way for me to share what I know about marketing and growing businesses with thousands of entrepreneurs was to write this book. So I'm going to close out this chapter with Susie Miller's comments about the challenges of worrying about perfection. Here's Susie's words. As a recovering perfectionist, the question about perfection hit home for me. In writing my book, there was always something more that could be done. I set a deadline, I made it public, and I did that because someday never comes. The manuscript is in, and I think I should have something. And if I think I should have said something a bit differently or added a comma, it's too late. But I will have a book on the shelf. When I've taken the leap and not worried about perfection, I have more gratitudes than regrets. Wonderful words from Susie Miller. And so, folks, I want to challenge you not to be a perfectionist. You're going to grow your business much faster if you put out your best work, pull the trigger, and correct as you go forward.